All right, Ephesians chapter 1, read with me, beginning in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. I'd like to add right there, one time I was doing a discipleship lesson with a fellow that had both Lutheran and Catholic background, and when he saw that saints are people down here, and I explained to him that we're saints, he said, I cannot wait to get back to my family and tell them, the next time you want to pray to a saint, pray to me, I'm a saint. Those are we, the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And tonight that's what we're going to talk about, is the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Because he begins this epistle by enumerating what they are. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. I have a handout right here too, you're welcome to use for your notes. All right, that was a lot. I know you digested it all, you've got it all, we're ready for the test. No, actually, there are seven spiritual blessings that Paul covered when we read that passage. And we want to talk about those tonight. We want to understand the spiritual blessings that we have been given. Listen, in Christ. When he says here, blessed in verse 3, blessed be the Lord God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ. The whole key to everything that Paul is saying in the book of Ephesians is this. You're either in Christ and you have all of this, or you're not in Christ and you need to be. And so there's no confusion about that. And he'll go over and he'll say, in him, in Christ. He'll say it many times throughout this epistle. And it's important for us to understand. When you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he has taken you out of the devil's family and he is putting you into Christ's family. You are part of his body. And with that come these blessings. And the first one that he mentions in the epistle is in verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The first spiritual blessing is our holiness. Our holiness. Now I need to make a comment. For any of you who have been exposed to a variety of doctrines about salvation, the verse of scripture we just read is often used to say and teach that before the foundation of the world, God chose who was going to be in Jesus Christ and who wasn't going to be in Jesus Christ, who was going to be in heaven and who was going to be in hell. And that's not what he said here, because the sentence does not end in the middle. The sentence does not say, read with me in verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, period. If it said that, then you would say, okay, then he did make the choice before the foundation of the world that we would be in him. But that's not the choice, comma, what's the choice? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Meaning, if you're in Christ, he chose before the foundation of the world that you would be holy and without blame before him in love. And that's a tremendous thing. Because right now, you may not blame yourself, but some of you are in here with your wife or your husband. Yeah. There are times when you find out maybe you really are to blame, or at least somebody's accusing you of it. But he gets us to a place in our lives where there is absolute holiness, no more sin, no more blemish, no more unholiness. We are holy before him in love. That is a tremendous blessing. If you think about your own life, within the last 48 hours, you can think of something that you did or thought or said that wasn't just right. Maybe it wasn't even 48 hours ago. Yeah. There comes a time, by his choice, that since you're in him, there's coming a day in heavenly places, no blame, all holiness. That's a blessing. That's a spiritual blessing. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. The Lord compares husbands and wives to the church, or he compares the church and his relationship with us to husbands and wives. And he says in verse 25 of Ephesians chapter 5, 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Why? Verse 27, that he may present it to himself. What kind of church? A glorious church. And have no spot, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be, what's the next word? Holy and without blemish. That was the choice he made. And you know something? I personally am very thankful for that. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. All right, the second spiritual blessing that he tells us about is found in verse 5. It's found in verse 5. And he says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Watch it. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now I want you to think about something. Engage brain. Think about this. When the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a son of God. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So adoption doesn't have anything to do with you becoming a child. You became a child by the new birth. That's not adoption. Adoption has something to do with the result of the salvation that we have. And I want to show you what it is. So the second spiritual blessing in your handout is our adoption. Our adoption. Okay, our adoption. And I want you to see, but you have to go to the book of Romans with me. Go to the book of Romans. And so that's where you can see for yourself what it has to deal with. Romans chapter 8, I want you to look with me beginning in verse 21. Well, we could keep going back. Let's don't do that. Let's just go right to verse 22, because the word we're looking for is in verse 23. So Romans chapter 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Something, don't you see that? Something is wrong in our creation, and it's because of sin. If nothing else, mosquitoes after rain. Something is wrong down here. Okay. All right, so the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, what? The redemption of our body. What is the adoption? The adoption is the redemption of our body. In other words, right now, you're a child of God. And you're a child of God, 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 and I'm a child of God by the new birth. But there comes a time when this body goes from the vile flesh it is now and becomes like the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the adoption, where now the image of the Lord is my image. And I guarantee you, I looked in the mirror this morning. It ain't there now, but it's coming. Okay, and that's a spiritual blessing. That is a tremendous blessing. How many of you have reached the age where something somewhere hurts all the time? Okay. There's coming a day where that's not going to be the case. That's the redemption of your body, and that's called the adoption. You know, Jesus Christ could have saved us and said, I'm just going to leave you like you are. I'd be glad to be saved like that. He said, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to transform your body, Philippians 3:21, Romans chapter 8, verse 29, and I'm going to make you look like me. You're in Romans chapter 8, look at verse 29. This is the predestination. Romans 8:29, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to what? Be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Wow, I'm looking forward to that day. Now, you have already seen the word predestination twice, once in Romans 8:29 and once in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. And neither time did it say that you were predestinated to salvation. One said you were predestinated to adoption, and the other said you were predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. So don't be confused with the doctrine that says God predestinated you before the foundation of the world. Your destination changed the moment you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Yeah. Now, I've got a truck out there in the parking lot, and if you would like to go to King's Crossing in Corpus Christi after this, jump in the truck with me, because that's your predestination. If you're in me, in my truck. If you want to go where you came from, get in your vehicle, and the destination will take you where you came from. Right? Predestination, once you're in Christ, you'll be conformed to His image. I will tell you, I'm excited. It's a privilege to know I'm going to be conformed to His image. Here's the third spiritual blessing. And it's found in verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us. I'll let you get back there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. This is a Bible study. And you know what we use for our main book? The Bible. Sometimes you'll go to a Sunday school class and they have a Sunday school book. And that's you don't have to flip through the Bible. Our Sunday school book is, or our Tuesday night book is the Bible. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us, what? Accepted in the beloved. Our third spiritual blessing is this, our acceptance. We are accepted in the beloved. Because I'm in Christ, I'm accepted, whereas before I was in Christ, I wasn't accepted. Do you know, I get to do a lot of work in the ministry dealing with people, and I've pastored for over 30 years now, and so, you know, I've had the opportunity to visit with people in every kind of circumstance. But you know, one thing I've noticed, and more prevalent now in the day and age in which we live than in the past, and that is this: some people have really messed up their life before they got saved. They did some bad things. And you know what they have trouble with? Acceptance. They don't feel like anybody really wants them. And I'm going to tell you, you have a spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. It doesn't make any difference. Since Christ bore all the sin on Calvary, you came with His righteousness, not your sin, and you are accepted in the Beloved. And that's a wonderful thing. Yeah, I tell you, when some people, and I was just talking to a fellow today, I'll be having an appointment with a lady next week. You cannot, he didn't go into detail, but he said enough. That poor girl from a very young age until she was long into her adulthood has been horribly abused. But you know something? She's accepted in the Beloved when she trusts Christ. That's huge. Huge. A lot of people get the idea, that's sort of our human nature, that I got to clean up my life to make myself acceptable to Christ. No, you trust Christ and He'll clean up your life and He'll make you acceptable to God. It works that way. It works that way. Okay, let's look at the next one. It's in verse 7. We've already seen three wonderful spiritual blessings. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The fourth spiritual blessing is our forgiveness. Our forgiveness. Our forgiveness. Do you see that right there? He said, in whom we have redemption through what? In whom we have redemption through His blood. His blood. Do you know what that blood is that was running through the veins of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I want to read to you. It's the blood of God. Listen. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, listen, which He hath purchased with His own blood. That's Acts 20:28. I was just reading Acts 20:28. I didn't have you flip there. The church of God, listen, which He hath purchased with His own blood. That was God's blood that was shed for you. Not an animal sacrifice. Not just another human being. The blood of Christ, the blood of God. Let me describe something for you real quickly to help you understand how great the forgiveness is we have. When Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross of Calvary, we know He died for our sins, correct? There are a lot of people who aren't even saved that know He died for our sins. When He was hanging on the cross of Calvary, the Bible says God made Him to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God turned Jesus Christ into a sinner. So blasphemy is a sin, a deadly sin. God turned Jesus Christ into a blasphemer, and every occasion of blasphemy ever spoken by anybody, Jesus was charged with it as if He was the one that cussed, and then God killed Him for it. Murder is a sin. God turned Him into a murderer and then charged Him with every murder, including Cain's, as if Jesus Christ were the one that committed the murder. Adultery is a sin. He turned Him into an adulterer, lying, bearing false witness, coveting, any of those. God turned Him into the sinner and then punished Him as if He were the one that committed the sin. That's what He did. I told a grown man when I was witnessing to him, 55 years old, what I just told you. And I looked up, I'm in the illustration, you know, He turned Him into a sinner. I looked at him and tears were running down his cheeks. And I was like, was it something I said? He said, no, it's something He did. I had no idea that Jesus Christ loved me so much that He would take all that I have done upon Himself and allow Himself to be punished as if He were the one that did it. I had no idea that's how great His love was. And He got saved. He got saved. That's forgiveness. That's forgiveness. I often use an illustration like this. When you get saved, I mean, before you get saved, your life, my life, look kind of like this. The white stuff is good and the black stuff is sin. The life of Jesus Christ looked like this, no sin at all. When I got saved, this became the life of Jesus Christ. He took it all, and that was mine. This is your life today. Righteous, if you're in Christ, you're forgiven. I had a neighbor of mine that was a Korean veteran, Korean War veteran. Super nice guy. Came to church with us a dozen times in Corpus Christi. As he got older, I made an appointment to see him. He had just been diagnosed with brain cancer, and he was visibly stressed and upset. And I thought it might be the cancer, so I said, "Fred, what is it?" I was thinking he was going to say, "the cancer." He said, "No." He said, "I realize that I'm coming now to the end of my life, and I don't know where I'm going." I said, "Well, let me show you the gospel." He'd heard me preach it before, and I thought, honestly, that he'd been saved. But we went through the gospel, and right there, he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I showed him that little illustration that I showed you. But I showed it in my Bible so that I had my Bible like this and opened up and said, "That's yours." And then I opened up the Bible where there was a white page, and I said it was like that. So we rejoiced. I left. The rest of the story is a great story, and I'll probably get to tell you sometime. But let me move on to say this. The next day I came back, he's sitting on the same sofa, in the same clothes, in the same place. But this time he's not upset. He's got a big smile on his face. And I said, "Well, what are you so happy about today?" He said, "I'm just sitting here thinking about those white pages." I'm talking to you about a spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. You're forgiven. Excellent question. Excellent question. And when we're done with this, I'll either answer it to you personally, or the whole group may say, "Yeah, answer that question," and I'll give it to you at the end. All right. Next spiritual blessing in verses 8, 9, and 10. About the time we read this the first time, you were probably like, "Whoa, this is a lot to read." Okay, read with me. "Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will." So these are some things that we didn't know before. The mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. These are decisions he made. What is it? "That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him." The next spiritual blessing is our unity. Our unity. Our unity. You know, I've never met before. Today is the first time. But you've been in Christ a while, and I've been in Christ a while, and you know, we're in the same body. And now here we are meeting together in Kingsville for an opportunity to study the Bible. And so what we're discovering is all over this world. I've been in Africa this year preaching, both in South Africa and Zambia. I've been in various places in the United States, going to Mexico in November, and so forth and so on. Been in other places in Europe and whatnot, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I tell you something? There are saints in every place. Our son-in-law is in a little island. You don't even know where it is. It's called Reunion Island. It's off the eastern coast of Madagascar, off the eastern coast of Africa. And right now, he's in sleep. But earlier today, I talked with him, and he has been witnessing and talking to people about Christ. There will be people that will get saved in Christ, and you know what? They are with us, and we are with them, though we're on different parts of the world. That's a remarkable thing. All in unity in Christ. May I show you in Ephesians chapter 5? Ephesians chapter 5. Look with me in verse 30. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30, the Bible says, "For we are members of his body." Look, "of his flesh and of his bones." Ephesians 5, 30. We are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." This is a great mystery. "But I speak concerning Christ and the church." This is an amazing thing. I heard a fellow say one time, we're all in that body and we're all members of that body. Some are fingers, some are eyes, some are ears, some are nose, some are belly buttons, and some are even warts. I've met some of those. But we're in there. We're in that flesh. So the beautiful thing is, and we're going to study this when we actually get to Ephesians chapter 2. Christ is seated in heavenly places, and because we're in Him, we're seated with Him in heavenly places as well. And that's a wonderful thing. You know, we have a world right now, and they keep advertising, we all just need to get together. You hear that? We all just need to get together. Look, we are all together in Christ. Okay? So that's the next one. Now, the sixth spiritual blessing in Christ is verse 11 and 12. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. There's that word again, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. The next spiritual blessing is our inheritance. Our inheritance. In other words, what you got now ain't all you're going to have. There's more to come. There's more to come. I want to ask you a question. How many of you have ever heard this verse of Scripture? In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. You know you got a mansion waiting for you? I don't know what you live in here down here now. But I know what you're going to be living in up there. You're going to be living in a mansion with streets of gold and walls of jasper and gates of pearl. And it's called New Jerusalem, and you got a home. He says, I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I'm thanking God. You know where I'm not going to end up? The graveyard. That's not the end. That's the stopping off point. And so we have an inheritance. Now, that's just part of it, that inheritance that we have of a home in heaven in that beautiful mansion. But there, I'll tell you another thing you have. You have it right now. You know, when we talk to souls about salvation, we'll often want to make the question compelling. If you were to die right now, do you know where you'd go? Would you go to heaven or hell? And we ask that question because that kind of brings it to the... They'll say, well, I hope I go to heaven. I say, well, are you 100% sure? No, well, you can be. Oh, I'd like to know. So it's a good question to ask. But the truth of the matter is the issue is not only where you end up. The issue is eternal life. What we're affected by right now is death. And everybody in this room, depending on the time of the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to face it one day. Well, the issue is death, and so what he says is, I'm going to give you everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I wanted you to know something. You got it now, and you're going to enjoy it forever. So this is just the beginning. That everlasting life goes right past the day of your death and goes on for how long is eternity? Forever and ever. That's a tremendous thing. That's a blessing. That is a spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Our inheritance. You see it? All right, and then I'll give you the last one in this list. How are we doing so far? Is the pace good? Are you keeping up? Is it able? Is it clearly? To me, it's so good to just be able to look here. I know that maybe you have a question or two about one or two of the words, but you're getting something that the world needs and people who are saved need to know. We have an inheritance. All right, and then this one. This is beautiful as well. Verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth. How many of you here today can raise your hand and say, I trusted him after I heard the word of truth? And I have been saved, and I know it. You see that? See that? All right. So you trusted after you heard the word of truth. I did too. What was that word of truth? The gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. In other words, there's more to come, but he gave you something now. Until the redemption of the purchased possession, that's your adoption, unto the praise of his glory. So he has given you this. The seventh spiritual blessing is this: our assurance. Our assurance. He sealed us with the Holy Spirit of what? Promise. You're sealed. Sealed. All right, you could look at a seal two ways. I have a bottle here of water that I've been drinking. If I screw the cap on, which I have done right now, and I put a seal on that that can't be broken, then whatever is inside of here is not coming out. All right, so that's one seal. The other seal is, you're mine. Right? It put the seal on your, not like the mark of the beast, no. The whole Bible saying, you just told it. Not that. But like, that one's mine, and that one's mine, and that one's mine, and he seals us with the Holy Spirit of promise, saying, no matter what happens between now and the time you're gone, you're mine, and I will see you later. You know, there are a lot of people that struggle with that, because some people get saved young, and then they take a detour. They go in and do something that they shouldn't do, something bad. You know, when that happens, you come out of that, and you're like, I don't know if I'm still saved or not. You know, I've got some people that I've dealt with, and it's like this: she loves me, she loves me not, she loves me, she loves me. It's like, wow, man, make up your mind where you are. You don't have to worry about all that. When you're in, you're in. And he seals you, so you stay in. He's in you, you're in him. We're not perfect yet. We're not holy yet. But I'm telling you what, you are saved. And that, he says, I want to let you know, if I did that and I put you in me, I am not letting you get out. It's not going to happen. So that's the assurance that we have. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. He says it twice in this one little epistle. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed. How long? Until the day of redemption. Once the day of redemption comes, you get your adopted, you get your likeness of Jesus Christ. The race is done. You make it to the end. And he makes sure that you stay in. Why? Because he purchased you. Know you not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have God, and you're not your own? You're bought with a price. And I'll tell you, that price he paid, the shedding of God's blood and his own life, there's nobody on this universe who's willing to outbid him. The devil will not outbid him. You're his. That's a good thing. We need to know that. So these are the seven spiritual blessings you receive when you're in Christ. And what you've just heard is a doctrinal Bible study. You've been instructed in the Word of God or something about your relationship with Christ because of what he's done for you. But I thought that it would only take us about as much time as we've taken now to have this doctrinal study. And oftentimes I like to leave when I've had a Bible study with something that I can do. Be a doers of the word and not hearers only, the Bible says. And so I want to go back through those spiritual blessings that you can see clearly for yourself in Ephesians chapter 1 and show you what they do for you today that's good. What kind of instruction, what kind of incentive, what kind of direction they give you for your life. All right, the first one was that our holiness, right? So here's the instruction. I've got the little outline on the back. So if you flip your, you'll see there's seven little things right there. First one is be holy. Be holy. If holiness is your spiritual blessing in Christ, then you know what? Be holy. We should not be Christians where everybody else that knows us has to ask, are you a Christian? There ought to be something in our life changing where it's obvious, right? And I won't turn you to the passage. I gave you the passage in there, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. You know what he said? Be ye holy, for I am holy. And what's wrong with holiness? I want to ask you a question. Many of you in here were saved, been saved a while. Is there something in your life you used to do you're not doing anymore? Oh, yeah. You know what that is? That's being holy. I led a 75-year-old man to the Lord one time. He was coming to church, and about 6 months after he'd gotten saved, he'd been reading a little Bible and all that, he called me and he said, "Would you come by and visit me?" I said, "Absolutely." And he says, "Preacher, I don't think I'm saved." And I said, "Why not?" He said, "Well, I still use bad language sometimes." I said, "Let me ask you a question. Before you got saved 6 months ago, did you use bad language?" "Oh, man." And one of those words came out. And I said, "And when you did that, did you feel bad about it?" He said, "No." I said, "How about now when you say something bad? Do you feel bad about it?" He said, "I feel horrible." I said, "You're saved." You know what he's concerned about? "I don't want to be what I was. I want to be what God wants me to be." We ought to really think about being holy, because that is our spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. The second thing is, we have the adoption, which is going to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Then you know what we should be concentrating on? Being Christ-like. Be Christ-like. You say, is that anywhere in the Bible? If you can get to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I've marked the verse for you, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and look at verse 18. I love this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, 2 Corinthians 3, 18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, that's like looking in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let me ask you something. If you put your nose in this book,
blood, sweat, and tears,
and read what you're seeing of the glory of the Lord in this, changes you. And you don't have to act like a Christian. You just be a Christian. You be Christ-like. Don't act Christ-like. You be Christ-like. There are places where you should be able to walk in and people look at you and say, "You know, there's something different about you." And it's not that you're a snob or a holy roller. It's just God's done something to change your life. Be Christ-like. So be holy. Be Christ-like. The next spiritual blessing we have is our acceptance. So be accepted and accepting. And accepting. You know, I gave you the verse of Scripture. Look with me real quick there at Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 16. You're in 2 Corinthians. Just go left through 1 Corinthians and then Romans. Look at this with me. Romans chapter 8, verses 14, 15, and 16. This really help us. Romans 8, 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are what? Romans 8, 16. The children of God. Do you know what that means? You know, some of us, this is the first time we've seen each other. And some of you, you're seeing somebody you've never seen before on earth. And, you know, you might size them up and go, "I don't know. Well, I might like you." You know, we're the same. We're accepted, and if I'm accepted and you're accepted, then I can accept you and you can accept me. That's very important. You know, a lot of times churches, groups of people that are Christians, even families, get all haywire and divided up over the least little thing. And sometimes it helps us to remember, if God loved you enough to save you and He loved me enough to save me, then I ought to be able to love you like He loves you. We ought to be that way. And overlook some of that stuff that happens. I'll tell you, you're not going to live in this Christian life without getting bumped. If you live here long enough, it's still like a pinball in a pinball machine. You're going to bump into some people. The thing to do is shake it off. Shake it off. And stomp it under your feet. years ago, I was at a meeting at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Beeville, and they had a lady there that was singing, and her daughter was playing the piano. And one day she began to describe a man that had a mule, and he was trying to dig a well on his property. And he was digging that well by hand and got a big old hole, and he came home one day, and that mule was down in that hole. And he put a noose on that, tried to pull that mule out of there. Mule wasn't coming out. Lit a fire under the mule. Mule just went to that. He wasn't coming out. And he thought, well, I can't let this poor old mule starve to death down in this hole. I guess I'll just bury him. He got the shovel and started putting dirt back in the hole. And every time he threw that shovel, dirt in there on the back of that mule would shake like that and go over here to the other side. And he'd throw that dirt on that mule and shake and go over here to the other side. Well, you know what was happening. He's coming out of that hole. And she said, the moral of the story is you got to shake it off and stomp it under your feet. It helps to know that if he accepted us, we can accept each other. Then we ought to live like that. All right? And then the fourth thing is, if you're forgiven, you ought to be forgiven. There's not a person in this room that's lived with some sort of past that doesn't regret your past. There's a time you reflect on it and go, man, I wish I hadn't done that. Man, I wish I hadn't said that. If you lived long enough before you got saved, and maybe even after you got saved, you look back on those things, it's a heartache to you. But if he forgave you of that, why don't you forgive yourself? Don't live back there. If you're forgiven, be forgiven. Too many times, not so much lately, but too many times in the past, I've had to help people walk through and say, look, you've got to get over yourself. He chose not to remember those things. Why do you want to keep bringing them back up? Don't live there. Be forgiven and go on. The rest of your life is in front of you, not back there. Remember when Y2K came and some of you, we were all like, oh, what are we going to do, man? No power, no computers, no, I told my wife, I said, here's how I'm going to get ready for Y2K. Give you an illustration here. Here's how I'm going to get ready for Y2K. Pardon me, I'm going to tell you like I told her. I'm going to quit living my life butt first. Meaning always looking back. You know why? Because if you're always looking back, what are you going to do? You're going to trip and fall and have another one to look back at. If you turn around and face whatever's in front of you and let yourself be forgiven for whatever's behind you, you can avoid the next problem and move on down the road. So be forgiven. It'll help you. Because you already have that spiritual blessing. Live it. Be it. All right? And then Ephesians 4, our spiritual blessing is unity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, we ought to live in unity, be in unity. I believe I can get along with you. I hope you can get along with me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. My mother passed away last May, and there's six of us. And you know, what was interesting, anytime that happens, she was the last. My father died many years ago. Have you ever seen families fight?
Sisters.
Yeah, sisters, brothers and sisters. I've seen it. I've seen more fights than I've seen people get over it. You know what I'm saying? And my mother said, I saw her on Sunday. She died on Thursday. And when I saw her, she had a big smile on her face. Sunday afternoon, I drove over from Corpus Christi to Victoria to see her. And siblings are there. She smiled and she looked at us all and she said, you know the thing that makes me so happy right now? You're all here and you're all getting along. Yeah. Our Heavenly Father should be able to look down and say, my kids are getting along. My kids are getting along. Makes me happy. Yeah. Be in unity. If you got in crossways somewhere along the way with another brother, sister in Christ, endeavor. I know in Romans he said, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. I had a friend of mine who was incarcerated, and they put him in solitary, and he wrote me a letter. He said, you know that verse that says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men? He said, well, that day it didn't lie within me to live peaceably with him. And that's how I ended up here. I understand we can have a bad day, but, you know, we ought to endeavor. Okay. And then I was going to give you two more. I'll just tell you what they are. Be an heir, H-E-I-R, be an heir and be assured. Be an heir and be assured. I'm not going to continue. Be an heir. There's a lot on be an heir that I don't want to, we've gone long enough. And then be assured. If you know you have eternal life, then don't doubt. Quit doubting. If anybody in here keeps going like, if you're saved, the Bible says this, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Quit doubting. You know, you're like a child. If anybody here is like that, a person who is always doubting is like a child, a teenager, and comes and says, Mama, are you sure I'm your child? It's like, get over it, kid. Get over it. Of course. And God's the same way. There's a lot on other inheritance that we have. That's why I say be an heir. You're an heir to many things potentially, but there's some things we have to do in order to receive that inheritance. I'm not going to start in that area tonight. I just want you to fill that blank in. You understand, I'll just make it simple with an illustration. There's six kids in our family. If I had decided, hey, Dad, I don't want anything to do with you anymore. I don't even want to keep my name. I'm going to go to somewhere in the world. Change my name, marry whoever's over there, have kids, blah. You know, he dies, he says, okay, I'm giving my inheritance to five kids, not that one. Still his son. My children are his grandchildren. You don't lose your sonship. But you can forfeit some things that he has for you by misbehaving. Don't do that. Be an heir. Yeah, don't put yourself in a position where he says, don't want to give you, no. Let me give it to them, not you. No, don't do that. And I'm not picking on you. You just happen to be close. All righty. Okay. There you go. Isn't that something? Ephesians chapter 1 is loaded in those first 14 verses with so much truth that's instructive to us and helpful to us.